The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
To Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Oilers Nation Radio episode 204 is here. Only a couple of days after we recap the season, Bag Milk, Tyler here, but we got a couple of recruits. We've got Liam and Zach sitting in for Rick and Dan. Plenty to talk about today. But as we do every week, we're going to start off with our delicious debate for our friends at Oodle Noodle. With 17 locations and counting, the world domination begins, or continues, I should say, for our friends at Oodle Noodle. Check out a location near you, or if you're feeling lazy like I tend to do on Fridays, you can always order it through DoorDash. Ding dong. Liam, give me a ding dong, would you?
Ding dong.
Thank you very much. Tyler, as you do every week, you give us our delicious debate for our friends at Oodle Noodle. What do you have this week?
Yeah, I'm clicking into off-season mode, which means I want to do exactly zero prep at all for any of my podcasts. So I put out a tweet from our ON Radio podcast account saying, we want your take. In your opinion, what's the biggest off-season question for the Oilers? Do we want to give our questions first and then get to what the listeners think, or do the listeners... and then get it ours.
I'm going to give our guests the first crack at this. Zach, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm good with that. I have no thoughts going through my brain right now, so.
No, you're up first.
Yeah, you're up first.
Yeah, you're up first for your take.
Yeah. Oh, really? We want your take. Yeah. What's the biggest question?
On the spot.
Oh, God. Biggest question surrounding
the Biggest question for the offseason, 2022.
I mean, it's got to be Evander Kane, right? Like, that's probably the biggest thing for the Oilers going into this offseason is, do they and are they able to re-sign Evander Kane? I'm in the camp that you let him walk right now because I think the money is going to be too high. And I think I would rather have a better sum of parts in Jesse Puljujärvi and Kyler Yamamoto, which you could get for what Kane is asking for right now.
Or less.
Or less.
What if you could get all three?
That would be neat, but I don't think that Evander Kane should be the priority. Like, scoring goals was never really the issue for the Edmonton Oilers this year, even before Evander Kane, right? Like, to me, goaltending truly should be the number one priority, and that should be trying to sign Darcy Kemper, which is Evander Kane money.
If you look at Evander Kane, the thing that I think with him is I would like to have him back, but based on the season he had, 22 goals, 17 assists and 43 games in the regular season, 15 goals and 13 assists. Or sorry, 13 goals and 4 assists through 15 games in the playoffs, he probably just priced himself out.
Yeah, probably. Like, if he would have came here and scored like 12 goals in the regular season, but then we're probably not talking about signing him, right? So it was just one of those things where it was mutually beneficial for the last few months. If I could get him to a 2-year deal, I'd probably sign Kane. And at 2 years, I'd probably be comfortable going like $7 million just because I think you're getting an effective player who will be motivated and not screwing around. If you got to go to 3 years, it's dicey.
3+.
If you're getting a 4, it's just a non-starter for me.
You know, it's like one of those things where, unfortunately, you have to take into account the player's history in past teams. And there's some welcomes that have been worn out, allegedly, in my opinion. So I think the term is the scarier part. I guess I'll ask you, just since we're talking about Kane, what would be your max term and money? I said in the mailbag this past week, $6 million by 3 would be absolute max, but he doesn't take that.
Yeah, 3x6 is my max too. You know, if he wanted to do something weird like 4x4, which he wouldn't. So yeah, 3x6.
I'd go 2x5.
2x5. You wouldn't pay Evander Kane $5.5 million.
Okay. Yeah. I'd probably pay him $5.5 million.
But you wouldn't pay Evander Kane $5.6 million.
I mean, if you had to, sure. But like realistically,
I'm just kidding.
5.235. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd probably do 3 years, 6 or 7. I think that's what I would do. I don't know.
Yeah. Like so if you're going to get them, you got to get to this $6-7 million mark on any sort of term, probably, right?
It's just, but again, I say five being a guy who's not like high at all on re-signing him in the first place. So
my question is like, it's just not much else out there like him, right? And he was so effective here. Like, it's kind of like, okay, well, you made it to the Western Conference Finals with him. Mm-hmm. And now how close are you without him?
Well, and there's also, how do you replace him? Not just in terms of the goals, but the way he plays. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've been looking for the ideal winger for, and again, I don't think he's coming back anyway, but we've been looking for the ideal winger for Connor McDavid since he started here. And that's basically it.
Yeah. The closest we got was Patty Maroon.
Patty Maroon was great. But Kane's big, he can skate, he's tough. He can, you know, he defended Connor any chance he needed to. I still don't think he's back.
I'm just a little bit like looking around the league. I'm just so confused about who will even be in on this guy. Like, I just don't see a fit.
Don't you see him signing with a garbage team for a lot of money though?
So like, is he going to sign with the Seattle Kraken for $7.5 million?
Would he? Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, if he needs money, I guess that's a pretty big market for him, but
they're a team that wants to create offense this offseason too. Like that's one of their big priorities going into the offseason is doing that. So
maybe
Evander Kane, come on down.
I think the question is with Evander Kane too is, it's actually a pretty good free agent pool and trade pool for the top guys. So what is it? New Jersey and Philly are the big dogs this summer, it seems, right? Like,
well, not so much Philly because they don't have money. They have to clear out money if they're going to do anything. Oh, but Jersey will be hungry.
They're in on everyone. I feel like Evander Kane's going to be like 6 or 7 on most teams' lists. It's like, we want to pay this guy $7 or $8 million, right?
Well, and they're probably going to take into account all the stories and the whatever,
His age.
Yeah, he's 30 years old. So, you know.
I mean, I think we can all put it this way in saying that Evander Kane isn't going to be signing the first contract of the day on July 7th.
No,
no.
Right. Like, I think he might be a guy who has to wait. Maybe he waits it out and the market doesn't formulate and circles back to Edmonton.
So let's look at some of the teams that have the most cap space. Buffalo. He's not going back to Buffalo.
No.
Anaheim. I don't know that they would be interested based on what they're doing. Like, now there's rumors that John Gibson might be available, perhaps, potentially. I couldn't see it. Steve Yzerman in Detroit. I doubt it. But maybe. Arizona Coyotes, no way they want to pay that money. They don't have it. Although the people at ASU might like it. Mm. You know?
Maybe Evander Kane would like it at ASU.
Maybe.
Might be a scene.
Hey, you know what? Evander Kane signs in Arizona. He can just walk out the front door of the arena. Nobody knows who the fuck he is. That's probably a pretty good situation for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Calgary. I was talking to Princey about this actually this morning. I was like, do you think they would have any interest because they have some money? He's like, no, none. He's just like, they've got so much to do and players that they need to prioritize.
But if they lose Goudreau.
Can
you imagine the first BOA next year and Kane's in red?
Kane and Lucic flying down the wings. Yeah. But like, if that's the case, if they sign Gaudreau, go for it, I guess. If you're going to sign Evander Kane to a big long-term contract, which is probably what he would need to go to Calgary or anywhere really, at 30 years old without McDavid as a center. Okay. No?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it can make sense.
Good. I mean, from a Calgary perspective, I'm trying to think of it like objectively. He fits the bill, but like, is that where you want to spend that much money? I don't know. But if Johnny's asking for 10, maybe.
Mm.
Right?
I mean, I have a hard time seeing Calgary let Johnny walk.
I think you will.
I think Johnny might not care what they think.
Yeah. That's fair, I think too.
Right?
That's fair. I don't disagree with that, but that's why I say like I could very much see Calgary overpaying to keep Gaudreau.
You know the little exercise we did where I was like 5.5? Sure. I could see Johnny doing that with Tree Living, being like, oh, you don't want me to go to market? What's the most you're willing to pay me? 10 mil over 8 years. And Johnny being like
10.5?
10.5. And be like, oh, we can't lose him over 500K. And then Johnny being like 10.6. 10.8.
Other teams that with some space for next year, Colorado, not going to happen. I don't think
they got bigger fish to fry.
New Jersey, absolutely possible.
I think Jersey is going to be really horny for Kevin Fiala.
Mm.
Get that Swiss connection going on their second line, Hishar Fiala. Then they'll have like Hughes and Bratt on the top line. I think you might see Fiala end up there.
That's
Ottawa's got a bunch of space. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Evander Kane apparently wants to go to a bigger market. I don't think he wants to play in Canada.
He wants to go to a bigger market where you have to take a 50-minute ride out to the arena.
Yeah.
So the biggest market then would be LA, right?
Yeah, I don't think LA is signing.
I don't think LA would. Pittsburgh, they've got big. They won.
They got to get Malkin and Letang.
Like, not sign Malkin and Letang and sign Evander Kane.
Washington's instead. Interesting if there is any like truth to the Nicholas Backstrom talk. Like,
what is it? Context.
He might be just too banged up to keep playing.
Oh, really?
It's been spit around like
interesting.
A little bit, not like a firm rumor or anything, but there was a lot of talk. Someone said what he kind of had to play through at the end of the season was like pretty intense. And I'm not saying it's likely at all, but like, you know, if it's Backstrom going on LTIR and all of a sudden they have an extra $9.2 million, they'd probably need a centerman, but maybe we knew they liked Kane before, right?
That's I didn't realize he only played 47 games this year. Backstrom, that is.
Yeah. And apparently when he did come back, it was like tough for him to get going.
What was the injury?
I think it's his back. I don't know for sure though.
Can't fuck with backs.
Just going to throw one out there quickly. What about Kadri to Washington if that's the case?
That would make sense.
You know what my conspiracy theory is?
Go for it.
I want to hear it.
Malkin to Washington.
Mm. Could you imagine? Oh man, that'd be spicy. Mm. You got a guy like Fleury who's just like, I don't even play for the Penguins anymore, but I'm not going to Washington. Fuck you guys. Malkin just be like, I will switch sides. First try. He's just like, pay me the money. I'm there.
I actually always liked the color red.
Interesting. Okay, so there you go. Evander Kane, obviously a big question. Ken Holland in his press conference the other day said he wants Evander Kane back. Will they be able to afford it? I personally don't think so, but we'll see. Liam, what is your biggest offseason question?
I think Mike Smith, like he kind of threw a wrench in the plans, I guess you could say, when he was like, I don't know if I'll play next season. And it's like, well, you're under contract to play next season. Everyone assumed it was going to be you and Skinner, but now the Oilers, like, who are they going to get in goal? It's not exactly a good goaltending market either. Like you said, Kemper before,
yeah.
But also we were going into that Colorado series being like, oh, I can't wait to play Kemper.
And what's wrong with his eye? You know? Yeah,
exactly. And then you look at other guys. Holtby's had two opportunities now to sign in Edmonton.
What are you snickering at over there?
Just his eye thing. I started thinking about him wearing an eye patch like a pirate, and it made me laugh.
I would like to see that. It's you don't often see NHL goalies wearing eye patches.
Yeah, like the Oilers have to really beef up the right side of their D because they're like, he can't see. Chris Russell plays every game because he's blocking shots on camera. Hey, we shouldn't joke about it. Serious eye injury. You don't mess with eyes. But I just that was funny. I don't know.
Mike Smith is an interesting one.
Yeah, it is, Liam.
Yeah, but just to keep going on it. Holtby didn't want to sign here last year when he had the opportunity.
And he was banged up too, wasn't he?
Well, he signed in.
He was banged up this year. Yeah.
Games, right? Yeah, because Dallas had four goaltenders at one point, and then the fourth string ended up being Jake Ottinger.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Came through. Like, there's just not a lot of names. I mean, I might be in the minority here, but I don't like Ville Husso. I don't think he has a good
He's not proven enough.
No, he's had one season. He wasn't even that good in the American League. He kind of came up. I don't even know if you could say he got hot. I think he just had a good season.
Yeah.
But do you want to run that risk of having Ville Husso and Stuart Skinner, two goalies who really haven't had proven themselves properly, right?
So here's my thought on it. It's going to be Stuart Skinner and a literal bag of bones beside him. And whether that
so is you think Mike Smith is coming back. Say,
whether Smith's it's back. Mike Smith or some other 39-year-old goaltender. Like, Holland loves his old goalies. Like, he's not...
Yeah. This is the year Jimmy Howard's coming back.
Right? Like... Yeah, like
Chris Osgood is just like, I haven't played in years, but I'm in.
But you have to look long term too, right? So going into this offseason, the Oilers have what, $7 million in cap space? Next year, they open up $26 million. That's a lot of cash.
And Ken Holland shows he's dangerous with cap space, baby. Yes.
Hey, to be fair, he actually didn't do a terrible job with it last year. Like, I don't think he did a terrible
job. No, he didn't do a terrible job.
No, because like, if you think about two like free agency, we're like, Cody Ceci, come on. And then all of a sudden, as the year went on, Tyler confesses how attracted he is to Cody Ceci, and he ends up being quietly solid for the entire year.
Yeah.
The Hyman move was a slam dunk.
Nuge was solid. Yep. I like it.
Well, here's a couple of the old goalies then. Fleury.
He's not coming.
Thomas Greiss.
Yeah.
Maybe, but that's not who you want.
If their goaltending tandem next year is Stuart Skinner and Thomas Greiss, they're missing the playoffs. They will miss the playoffs despite leading the NHL in goals scored.
Okay, here's another one. Halak. I'm just naming old goalies just to kind of go off
here. Yep. Oh, I could absolutely see it being Halak.
100%.
Fuck. And then the next Stalock return. He's 34.
It's always a baby.
So one of the name I kind of peeked at, two, I guess. Casey DeSmith. Okay, you're going to say no to this one too then. Scott Wedgwood.
Oh, good God.
He had a 9-10 save percentage with Arizona this season.
If we're trying to win a fucking Stanley Cup, you better go do better than Scott Wedgwood.
I agree. Oh, but totally. There's just nobody here.
Yeah.
That's it.
So you got to make a trade. So who would be available in a trade?
I don't know. So my take on this is follow the breadcrumbs of where Marc-Andre Fleury goes. If Fleury signs in...
go on. I'm ready.
If Fleury signs in Minnesota,
yep.
I don't think they're running back Talbot Fleury.
Bring back Dadbot.
Bring back Dadbot. Right. If Fleury signs in Colorado, someone's shaking loose there. It's Kemper. You go sign Kemper. If Fleury signs in Vegas, go get Leonard. If Fleury signs in Pittsburgh, go get Jari. The last two are probably not happening. I just threw them out there. That the first sense, two are the most likely ones. You either get Talbot or you get Kemper. One of them will be the Oilers starter next year.
How much would Kemper be? Is he a $6 million goalie? I don't even know how much he made this year.
Six and change, I think.
I would say probably
4.5 this year.
Yeah, I think he gets a raise. How old is he again? 32?
32.
3 years by $5.5 million.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Because you got, like, I think long term, Stuart Skinner projects as like the Oilers goaltender of the future right now.
Hopefully.
He's 32 and has played in the NHL since 2012 and has played over 50 games twice as a star.
He'd be good for it with Skinner, right? Like, you're going to end up playing Skinner a lot. There's going to be runs where Skinner looks good. And we have this weird debate about like, oh, Stars do. Wow. Why'd they sign Kemper? Blah, blah, blah. But I think
you need a guy to
Kemper Skinner duo, I think would be really, really good for this team.
You need a guy to shelter Skinner as he's learning the ropes. Like, I have full faith in him to be able to do it, but like, you don't want to be like, all right, Stewie, you're in, buddy. There's too much pressure at this point.
You got a shutout in your last game. How are you not handling this?
Stuart Skinner will be continuing a shutout streak when he gets his first start next season. That's wild.
But I think like if they could get Kemper, having a guy like that kind of protecting Skinner, giving him, I don't know, 30 games.
That's what I was wondering too. How many games would you want to see Skinner play? My dad and I had this debate yesterday.
What does your dad think?
Yep. He said 30 to 35.
That's probably reasonable.
But he said, if you have Mike Smith back, is Mike Smith going to be a starter for that many games?
Mm-mm. No.
Based off health alone. Didn't Holland say like Smith was injured basically all year?
Yeah, he basically said that Smith was banged up all season.
So yeah, I think a good split if you have a guy like Kemper is he gets 50 games and Skinner gets 32.
I think that's...
Yeah, I think that's the ideal situation.
I think it's the only option.
Problem solved.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Ken, let's get her done, buddy.
Here's an interesting question. Who helps the Oilers win more, Darcy Kemper or Evander Kane?
Darcy Kemper.
Kemper.
Well, there you go.
We literally saw it the last two games. Not to throw it on Smith, but when you needed a save, it wasn't there.
So,
that was the wild thing about Smith for me. It was just kind of like, he could have games where... I was at game 3 against Colorado. He was so fucking good. Until he wasn't.
Yes.
And that's the thing with Mike Smith. Sorry, Zach, I cut you off.
No, I was just going back to what I said initially about the whole Evander Kane thing. Like, should we really be prioritizing if Evander Kane is the guy to bring back here when we have a guy like Darcy Kemper we could potentially be getting in free agency who would help take the Oilers to that next step? Like, that's just the way that I look at it.
But that's why it's so tough for Ken Holland, or like, he needs some decisions right away because, okay, if Smith comes back, if Smith decides he's going to come back, your goaltending is set because you can't just go spend big money on a third guy and lose Skinner on waivers. So if Smith's coming back, then maybe it opens up the door for Kane. If Smith isn't coming back, then you can't bring back Kane because you need to prioritize spending money on a goalie. Mm-hmm. And it's just all a little messed up. So like the order of operations here is actually pretty confusing.
I'm just going to throw this out there because it just came in my head right now. If Smith comes back, but you have an opportunity to get Kemper, would you not sacrifice Skinner to get Kemper?
No,
you wouldn't do that.
Nope. I mean,
I would do it.
Nope.
Because this team is ready.
I know they got to win now.
Like,
and there's no guarantee that Skinner's going to be anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. I believe in him, but there's no guarantee.
I do too. I think Skinner could be a good NHL goalie. But what's an
interesting question?
13 games.
But like, if you have a chance to get Kemper, I'd be like, sorry, Mike Smith, you're the one that goes on waivers.
I would do that too. But I just like Zach's point. Ken likes his older players.
I know. Yeah. I would take the $1.1 million in dead cap space and bury Smith.
Yep.
And at that point, like if you sign Kemper to a deal, I even said this earlier in the season. If you sit down Mike Smith and say, you want to come back? Great. You're going to Bakersfield. I have a funny feeling his decision to come back may change.
Yeah, Mike Smith is not riding the bus for his 41st year of his life.
Or to Schmitty Battle.
And all of a sudden, hey, you know what? Maybe he could go down there and he's buying the boys lunch and shit. They'd love him.
And then he goes down and he like scores 3 goals for the Condors. Like he's just every week we're here, like, oh, Mike Smith does it again.
Did you actually, just a little AHL story, did you see the James Neal thing? He is obviously playing in Springfield right now, and he was going to retire. And then I guess a bunch of guys in St. Louis, like Ryan O'Reilly and a couple of the veterans, were like, no, like just go play and just like, you'll be back here in no time. Obviously never went back, but he said he just found this like new love for the game all of a sudden. Cause he was like scoring so many goals. He was playing so much. Like guys were chirping him all the time. Cause he was like relevant again. And he's like, I just love it. He's like, and I'm going to play again next season in the AHL. He's like, I just love playing hockey again.
He was almost really a point per game guy.
Yeah. He had a goal. I don't know what game it was, but it was like a second left to like send Springfield to the next round or something like that.
Good for James. That's just awesome.
Third line, McLeod, Holloway, Neal.
Bring him back, pay him twice.
Why not?
Absolutely.
He's bought out and he's like, fuck.
I can't see, back to your point though, I can't see any scenario where Skinner isn't on the roster.
I can't either. I guess I should have backed that up as well. But like, I think if it came down to that, Kemper over Skinner, I would go.
To me, the answer is easy. It's like, go for Kemper, even if Smith is coming back, and be like, sorry, Mikey.
That's the answer.
I apologize to you, but this pro sports is a cold motherfucker,
you
my friend.
You said you might not be ready. I wasn't sure.
So this is the quote from Ken Holland that I really liked from this week. One of the things you need is an internal push. I said this yesterday in the room. If you're 24 and under, we need you to take a bigger piece of the pie. So he is speaking directly to Jesse Puljujärvi, Stuart Skinner, Kyler Yamamoto, Evan Bouchard, Ryan McLeod, Philip Broberg, and Dylan Holloway.
I liked that.
And us.
And us.
Well,
I'm over.
Actually, 24. I'm over.
Now. I'm also.
I've had my over push. 24.
Sorry, guys. No, he's not talking to us. Like I think that is something to remember as well.
You may not be under 24, Connor, but pull your shit together.
Like the right side of the blue line next year, everyone's like, "Oh, how can you get it better? How can you get it better?" I think it's reasonable to expect Evan Bouchard takes a step forward next year and is better in his own end and is a more complete D-man and he gets the power play time and all that stuff. And you know, you talk about, look at how good Ryan McLeod played in that last series.
God, that was awesome.
He started doing this off memory, but he started the season at something like 6-7 minutes a night, finished at over 20.
Yeah. So, I mean, expecting McLeod to take a step forward, reasonable. Expecting Holloway to burst onto the scene, like that could happen. Yamamoto to take a step forward. Like these are things that very well could happen. And it's a natural progression of becoming a contender, I think, is you have some of these young pieces you've drafted and developed really come into their own. And maybe that happens next year. And we're talking about how, you know, how can the Oilers get better? How can the Oilers get better? Maybe there's a part of it too that just sees them naturally get better because the young guys take on a bigger piece of the pie, as Holland said.
But you also can't assume that.
I know.
Because they assumed that in 2017 and they missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
You can't do an Eberle for Strome for Spooner here is what I'm saying.
Well, with some of these guys, yeah.
Don't overthink it. It's actually a fairly simple offseason for the Oilers. It's like
most of the core is coming back.
Yeah. They have one big spot that they need to fill in is goaltending. Mm-hmm. Then you have the Evander Kane factor. But then, besides that, you have so many good players coming through the system. Just plug and play. Is it, maybe I'm underthinking it, but it just seems like, okay, grab a couple of veteran guys in free agency, fill your holes, and then off you go and
that's try what
and
she said.
Do it again.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Before you say it, no, I don't think Duncan Keith is retiring also.
No.
We're not going to get that lucky.
People love DMing us that question, though. Is Keith going to retire? I was like, yeah, no.
It's just not going to happen unless somehow they can do a, all of a sudden Duncan Keith makes $5.5 million as a pro scout to watch the Kelowna Rockets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not happening.
You can dream, but it won't happen. Tyler, what is your biggest offseason question?
How they handle the RFA forwards. I think the Kane thing, I'm not really thinking they're going to bring back Evander Kane. I'm living my life with the assumption Smith is gone and they need a new goalie. So the big question for me is how they handle these RFAs. What are you doing with Ryan McLeod? Is Ryan McLeod getting a 2-year deal? Is Ryan McLeod getting a 5-year deal? Is Kyler Yamamoto getting a 6-year deal or a 2-year deal? Is Jesse Puljujärvi getting traded for Dominic Kubalik or is Jesse Puljujärvi getting brought back next year? Does Jesse Puljujärvi want to take a 1 or 2 year show me deal again with the Edmonton Oilers? Or does he say, no, we're going to arbitration? And then does Ken Holland say, okay, well then I'm trading you because I'm not taking your arbitration case. The RFA forwards, that's everything for me.
What would you guys do in there? Like, I can't see any scenario. And I was talking about this on Real Life yesterday where the Oilers win any trade with Puljujärvi. He just didn't have the good back half of the year.
What if it's like,
and ultimately, like, even though he didn't score as we would have liked him to, I think confidence obviously came into play. I think there was injuries there coming back after COVID. He didn't look the same. He still does good things on the ice. You need to prevent goals also. And he does that.
Mm-hmm. And I think he got better as it, like, seemed game by game in the playoffs. He just got better and better. Like in that,
he was finding his stride.
What was it? Game two against Colorado, where he like unfortunately missed the net when he was wide in front, but like he's there.
Yeah, he got the chance.
Some guys aren't there.
He's still like, even his individual numbers, he still generates tons of scoring chances. Like he does. Mm. There's no other way about it. Like he's there. He's in the offensive zone. He's creating shit. Just can't seem to finish right now. I think there is one trade I saw on Twitter the other day that I actually think could involve Jesse Puljujärvi and the Oilers winning the deal. It's Tyson Barrie and Jesse Puljujärvi to the Carolina Hurricanes for Freddie Anderson and X player.
Who's X? Whoever you want.
Sebastian Aho. I was going to say Aho. Yeah.
But like maybe just like a middle six depth guy. I don't know who it is. But the theory. Maybe.
They would never trade him. Yeah, I think they love
him. Yeah, I like Natchez.
Natchez,
Neckus.
Do you? Neckus, I think he's the same issue.
He probably is.
Yeah, but like sometimes young guys just need a second team to get going, right? So the idea is and I think a lot of this too, like, and people maybe aren't realizing this, you know, there's probably a chance Jesse Puljujärvi sitting here being like, I'm done here.
Yeah.
Like, I do not want to sign here.
Yeah.
Like that's possible. That's an area of this that needs to be said is he might sit there and say, I'm going to arbitration because we're not signing a 2-year deal with you. And that forces Holland's hand to an extent. Cause if you go to arbitration with him, you could end up getting priced out in a weird way.
I think when you look at it too, is the Oilers were already patient with Puljujärvi and he was patient with them too. Mm-hmm. They had a 2-year run. It worked. I think overall it worked pretty well for both parties. Yeah. Puljujärvi's back in the NHL. The Oilers got a good top six forward for 2 years and maybe a year. Maybe it's just time. Like, I don't want to see Puljujärvi go. I think it's awesome when he scores. They put up a bison on the big screen.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
that stuff's going to suck. But, like, again, like, if you can just replace him with another player, kind of like when you did with Bear and Fogel, maybe not quite like that.
I mean, you'd like it to work out for both teams, not be a loss for both teams.
Yeah, but Fogel's a good player.
He's fine.
He's fine. I don't know. That's something.
His contract sucks.
I think you're right, Tyler. Like, if he doesn't want to be here, then what's the point of trying to push this?
Yeah. And like, obviously I don't know if he wants to be here or not, but I'm just saying, like, I think there could be a point in the negotiation where like Holland's like, okay, like 2 years, $2 million. And Puljujärvi might be like, no, I don't know. You just never know with this kind of stuff. Right.
And then you get a Sam Bennett situation where he goes somewhere else and shines.
And
Or maybe you get a DeBrusk situation here where it's like, okay, well you stay. Play until your value goes up and then we'll do whatever we can to try and move you. Obviously Boston haven't moved DeBrusk. They just fired the coach instead, but maybe that's
not a
it.
Terrible
maybe
play.
You just have like a working relationship where
you might have to, where Holland kind of says like, the first time I get what I view as market value for you, I will trade you.
Yeah.
Until then keep playing.
But like, this is something that everybody needs to remember too. Like Holland played fucking hard with the trade market on Puljujärvi.
Oh yeah.
He played hard. Like there was more than enough opportunity for Puljujärvi to be traded somewhere. Right. So why now, after two, you know, relatively successful seasons, would you all of a sudden be comfortable selling low on Puljujärvi? You know, and I say selling low with, you know, quotation marks, right? It just doesn't make sense to me. But again, if, like you said, Tyler, if the player wants out, then what can you do about it? Right. You got to try and maximize your value in a deal that way. And, you know, hopefully nobody else around the league finds out that Puljujärvi wants out.
You can send him edible arrangements. Mm-hmm. Everybody bananas. Loves it. You've really picked up a shtick here, and I like it.
It's come a long way.
It really has.
It's just me having a couple of bananas a night, stressing over.
I don't even know how this started.
So we were on, what was that, Real Life?
Yes.
So Liam was on Real Life, and we were talking about what we were doing during the game, one of the games that was stressful, and Liam confessed that he had like 4 or 5 bananas during the game, and we were like, what? He's like, yeah, I was just pounding bananas. And we're just like, okay. And then as it turns out, he was eating multiple bananas during Oilers games often.
Yeah.
Got to get those potassium levels up.
You know what it is? It's like, so my parents' house is the TV is right in front, and then I sit. So my parents have, they have a dog, but he doesn't have like a regular dog bed. He has like a camping chair dog bed. So it's like slightly elevated. Mm-hmm. So when everyone's over, I sit on the dog bed with the dog.
Right.
And when I look to my left, the first thing I see is the fruit bowl. And I just see some dangling bananas. So then.
I like it.
So then I just go and grab a couple of bananas every time I like, that's where I pace, you know, and I grab one, snack it up.
Just for the update, how many bananas did you say in game 4?
I had 5.
That's like, I think you're gonna like.
But the thing is, I don't eat them any other time. Like, I don't have bananas at my own home.
Just when you go to your parents to watch. Just because
they're there. All of a sudden, Mumsy wants a smoothie and there's no bananas left.
Oh, remember when like you were eating all the beets and people were like, "Hey, man, that like may not be good for you." I feel like you're gonna have like clogs somewhere in your body. I don't know.
I'm on a break now. I only eat them in the playoffs. I don't even eat them in the regular season. I need something.
Yeah, I just gave up eating beets in the playoffs during the BeatCast. Yeah, I'm just like, I'm not doing it. Fuck this.
It's had a long run, man.
I don't think that part of the bit needs to last anymore, to be honest. Why is me shitting my lungs out at 7 a.m. the next day part of this? I did it for 4 or 5 years. It's over. Biggest off-season question for me. How can I give up the beats? We'll call it the BeatCast. We'll maintain that. It'll just be an homage, a tribute.
What's your biggest question?
How is Ken Holland going to free up cap space? Ultimately, like Zach Kassian is a guy who, unfortunately, his contract's just too much. Is anybody going to take that? Do you have to run the buyout route, which I hate because the Oilers already have $3.5 million in dead space next year? I don't want to do another buyout.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they have to. Tyson Barrie, what are you going to get in return for the guy? Because like Frank Saravalli said in his trade targets thing, it's not like the Oilers are unhappy with Barrie by any means. They just, you've got Evan Bouchard and you need the space. So what does that return look like? Are you flipping a guy who was a good soldier for you for a pick? Like, is that all you get? You know, how are you going to clear cap space? You've got a lot of shit to do right now. They've only got $7 million, 11 when Klefbom goes to the LTIR, but like, how do you clear it?
An interesting domino effect would be if Seattle wants to give you a second for Barrie, let's say they do. Do you sit there if you're Edmonton and be like, maybe we move our first? Like if we got a pick coming at 48, maybe we move 29 and see what we can get for it. Chris Peters has said that this draft,
it's not a great draft.
The tiers he said there's the group at the front, 1, 2, 3. And then there's a group from about four to like 16 to 20. And then he said the next tier goes all the way to 60. He said, wow. You're getting a similar quality player from 20 to 60. So if you're the Oilers, do you sit there and if someone's going to give you a second or even a third for Barrie, do you be like, yeah, you know what? There's a couple guys. We like 5, 6 guys, kind of all the same. Let's move our first. What's trade our first getting
for
us?
A couple of seconds or whatever.
Yeah. Or you just straight up trade. Like we keep talking about like, oh, you can't lose Puljujärvi trade. You can't lose Puljujärvi trade. What does Puljujärvi in the first get you?
A goalie?
I don't think he'd cost this much, but someone floated out the idea of Mackenzie Blackwood to me.
Yeah, I had somebody do that to me as well. I don't hate it. But this is the thing again. Are you comfortable with Blackwood and Skinner, two young goaltenders next year?
Blackwood at least has some experience, right?
Yeah, that's so fair. Like,
you know?
But how many can somebody pull it up? How many games played does he have?
Yeah.
Well, he was banged up this year too.
Well, he was, and that's part of it as well.
But anyways, the cap.
He's got 130 NHL games.
That's nothing.
I agree that that's a... The cap clearing is big. I think we kind of know how they're going to try to do it, right? Like Barry's likely out the door. One of Kassian or Fogle are likely out the door. It'll be interesting to see what kind of assets they get back in these moves though, right? Like is Barrie getting you a second and a third, a second or a third? Is Barrie getting you a fifth? Is Warren Fogle getting you a third or a warm body for somewhere? Or is he just out? Is Zach Kassian getting you a fourth or are you retaining half and just getting rid of money? I don't know.
To me, that's the biggest question. Yeah. The Oilers, like Liam said, you can't overthink the offseason, but at the same time, you can't fuck it up.
I think Barry's probably the easiest of the bunch to move because I think he's good.
He's good. He was really good down the stretch.
He's got value in the market.
Yeah, actually, like I was surprised at how well he even played in his own end in the playoffs. Like I didn't notice as many like classic Barrie gaffes that maybe we would have gotten earlier.
So then I would do a secondary biggest question. How can you keep Brett Kulak?
By trading Tyson Barrie.
Because I would argue he was kind of the Barrie whisperer when he came over.
Yeah.
100%. I think that's exactly what it was. Kulak really settled down Barry's game.
Would you give Kulak? Would you give Kulak the CC deal 4x3.25?
Absolutely.
Stauffer said 4x2 the other day on the radio, and I'm like, I would run to the fax machine right now.
Oh, absolutely! I would give him the CC deal immediately.
I'd give him 4x2.
4x25, like in the middle of those two. Yeah. I think that would be great value.
But yeah, no, I think that's
what about 8x500,000?
Yeah, you just sit there and you're like, hey, Brett, you kind of do like a handshake thing where you're like, hey, one day you're going to become a scout for us and this will be your salary. For now, this is your player salary. Whatever, man. Like, let's get greasy.
We will give you your own burger. We will replace the Bobby Knicks with the Be Cools.
Remember when George Costanza had the human fund?
Yeah.
The Oilers are going to start a charity that's like the Kulak Foundation, but it's actually just going to be money going into his pocket. And the Oilers will be like, we've announced we've donated $10 million to the Kulak Foundation. And it's just Kulak getting the money under the table.
We're going to get to your biggest questions of the offseason. But first, I want to tell you about Cornerstone Insurance. For 90 years and four generations, Cornerstone Insurance has been an employee-owned business right here in Edmonton. If you go to cornerstoneins.ca, they've got all the insurance products you could ever hope to need. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance, everything you need to get a claim, or you can file a claim, or you can get a quote right there on the website. Citizens of the Nation will get a discount if you click on the Citizens of the Nation button that's right there on the left-hand side of the screen, cornerstoneins.ca. Tyler, we've given our biggest questions. Yep. What about the people on Twitter?
Eddie Gordo said, it's getting a solid goalie. And then he said, but if you ask Oilers fans, the team cannot trade anyone to get that goalie except Cassie and her Keith.
That's a really good answer because it's so true.
Yeah. It's like, we need a goalie. Will you trade Puljujarvi for Blackwood? No, I'll trade Fogle for Blackwood. Ah, okay. Well, probably not getting Blackwood. It's like, get.
Why don't they just trade Cassian for Kemper? And you're like, well, nobody wants that. Okay. We'll do it. Anyway, go ahead.
Jerry T said, it says it's important to stabilize the blue line. Said before taking on everything else that's being discussed, a step backwards on the blue line is probably the only thing that could put us at risk of not making the playoffs. I don't mind that. I think the forward group will be able to score. It always will be if you have McDavid and Draisaitl. Get it. Bringing back Kulak and making sure the D stays solid is pretty important. I like that one from Jerry.
Yep. I like D updates always. Danny, there's always room to upgrade the D.
Danny Pella, shout out to Danny, didn't understand when I said what's the biggest question because he said goaltending and defense. That's two options. We said one.
Yeah, we don't need multiple choices here, Danny.
Yep. James Gunderson said still goaltending. Mm-hmm. Spencer Gilliard said, will Ken Holland finally get creative to get us out of cap trouble? And part of that, I wonder if they'll be able to move the Oscar Klefbom contract.
So I don't understand that one.
So we talked about this a little bit before the show, and Frank Cervalli talked about it today on the DFO rundown. Basically, when you're operating in LTIR space, you can't accrue money throughout the year. You can't accrue cap space, which, as we've seen with the Oilers last year, makes it very hard to do trade deadline deals. When you aren't accruing cap space, your hands are tied at the deadline, right?
What do you mean accrue cap space?
Yeah, this is all new to me.
It's incredibly confusing.
I need somebody to explain it better than when Ken Hall's waving his fucking hands around. And he's like, well, the LTI and the 81.5 and then the 84 and the 6 and the 12 and the 13.
Basically, and I don't really understand how to do it, but if you have like a little bit of cap space at the beginning of the year, that cap space kind of grows and accrues. So at the deadline, you have more cap space.
So it's like your cap space accrues interest.
Sort of. Whereas if you're an LTIR
like savings account,
when you're at LTIR and using LTIR space, you're just at the max of the cap every single day for the whole season. Another option for the Oilers would be to just keep Klefbom on the books and not put him on LTIR. And then like at the deadline, put him on LTIR. I think that would work. But anyways, if they can find a way to trade Klefbom's,
how would that work? Like you're just going to have like a $4 million Klefbom on your books and he doesn't play. Like, do we at least get to see pictures of him?
No.
Like, do we make him show up to the arena with no shirt on? Like,
does he come sit with all the other scratches every game?
Yeah. Like if we're going to have him on the roster, I demand that he's here.
I actually had a weird thought.
I want to look at him.
So like, let's say Klefbom's healthy. Like he comes back here and the Oilers doctors are like, you're cleared to play. And he says, no, I'm not. Couldn't you suspend him?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then he wouldn't get paid though. Right.
Yeah.
So like, does Klefbom be like, yeah, I'm not going to get paid.
So then he,
no, play. I don't want, so, my,
no, I don't want $4 million, I mean, sir.
Yeah. I'm sure he would have, like, this would probably be like another Eichel situation where there's like NHLPA getting involved. But if the Oilers were like, your shoulder's good, Oscar. And he's like, no, it's not. Like where did, I don't know. That's a weird hypothetical I just thought of the other day.
Again, if he's on the roster, he better be here. And I need to see those apps.
So the other thing with the Clefbaum deal and potentially moving it, because again, you will have more space at the deadline if you don't have Oscar Clefbaum sitting on your LTIR, right? If the issue with moving him is his salary this year is higher than it's been in any other year. It's 5.169. Nice. So whatever team gets him has to cut a check for 5.169 and pay him the money.
Why didn't Oilers insure a long-term contract? Like, that's a different question, but I guess.
Frank made a comment on the DFO rundown that because of Clefbaum's pre-existing shoulder conditions, they couldn't get his contract insured.
Ah,
so, you know, Arizona is a team that has said, Bill Armstrong was on, again, the DFO rundown with Frank and Jason, and said, we are open to taking bad contracts. The one that gets talked about a lot is Shea Weber, right? And his contract is interesting because a team like Arizona, if they want to get to the salary floor, could pick up $7.8 million in cap space while only paying Weber $1 million, and that contract's insured. The Clefbaum deal, they would be getting $4.1 million in cap space, having to cut a check for $5 million, and it's not insured. So yeah, moving Clefbaum is very, very difficult.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very
so nice. It sounds like he's on LTIR again.
Probably.
Unless he's here with no shirt on.
Can you imagine?
Well, that's a thing that I was talking about this with Quads from Canucks Army the other day. Like, one thing that the Oilers never seem to get a pass on from everybody is that they basically lost either a top pairing or a second pairing, however you look at it, defenseman in Clefbaum and Larson. Larson obviously had personal reasons why he went to Seattle, and that's fine. We don't begrudge him for that. But they basically lost a top pairing for nothing. Zero.
Yeah, it sucks.
That doesn't happen anywhere.
They also got Cody Ceci for zero, though.
Huh? Very handsome. Great abs. Handsome chap.
Spiced Oil said lots of rumors about jerseys over the season. Do we see some new threads for 22-23? So it's going
to
be...
Tom Gazzola said they're going back to the blues, aren't they?
Royal blue,
which is a white jersey, kit.
The navy as an alternate, and a reverse retro McFarlane are the four next year. No more
four jerseys.
No more.
Well, because wasn't the thing like I read this, I don't remember where I read this, that the Oilers didn't really like, the players themselves didn't really like the orange jerseys.
I heard they really liked the reverse retros last year.
Well, those are sharp.
Yeah, those are
nasty. They only wore them what, like three times?
Yeah. And well, it was supposed to be two. And I think the players were like, we like these. And they added two more and they ended up wearing them like four times or three times.
The reverse retros should be the road jerseys.
They should.
I love those. They were super nice.
Super nice. I loved all the orange.
What else we got?
Electronic Jordan said, I think realistic question with the most impact of the team is goaltending. Can Skinner start a full season? And who is the other? He added, Kane's not a realistic option. The three forward.
And he doesn't play in net.
Yeah. And then he said the forward RFAs are important, but not as impactful as goaltending. And I think that's interesting.
I'd like to see some kind of Shohei Ohtani situation where there's a power forward that also plays net.
Yeah. It's like, all right, Skinner's playing tonight. And they just got the guy out taking warmups as a forward. Yeah.
What about Chris Russell? Like, what if he threw on the goalie pads?
We've done this before, but which Oiler would be the best goalie?
Oh, I just still assume in my heart of hearts that Chris Russell wanted to be a goalie as he was growing up, but it just cost too much.
Couldn't afford the pads.
Make it happen. Mm-hmm.
Do you think he couldn't afford it, or he's from Caroline, right? Mm-hmm. What if they just didn't have enough players to play out, but they had four goalies and they were like, Chris, you're actually pretty good with the puck. We need you.
He's crying. He's like, I just want to be a goalie.
I just want to be a goalie so bad.
And quickly becomes the number one highest scoring defenseman in Medicine Higgins.
Medicine Higgins. Yeah,
Higgins. I love the Higgins.
Yeah, until David Quinnenville. Shout out David Quinnenville. All right. Southside.
Brandon Clean said 1A goaltending, 1B. If you lose both Kane and JP, how do you replace 55 goals?
People are sneaking in too.
I know. It's super crazy. The Mad Hatter said, we're worrying about how to keep players around, essentially worrying about how to stay the same. We need to figure out how to improve and be better than last year, even though last year was good. And I think that's where the youth stepping up could be a thing, right? Like if Ryan McLeod goes from giving you like average third line minutes in the past regular season to like elite third line minutes, your team's better.
So we have a young team.
We do.
Yeah.
Like
there's a couple of guys that drag that average up a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, like, Drysdale's still only 26. Wes McDavid, 95.
He's 25.
I mean, his year of birth. Yeah, so he's 97.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yamamoto's young. Puljujärvi, McLeod, Bouchard. Nurse isn't that old.
I don't believe Bouchard's young, by the way.
That's fair.
He's bamboozling us. I feel like he did what I want to do and went back in a draft year 20 years after he was supposed to be drafted, and he just finally had the skills to make it.
Nice. No one caught on.
Nobody caught on.
Possibility.
Sean Maloney? I think I got that right.
I like to call him Malugane.
Yeah. Okay. So you know who I'm talking about.
Yep.
He said the RFAs, depending how Holland chooses to address them, this team could be set for many years or in a heap load of trouble 1 or 2 years from now. Learn from the Darnell Nurse mistake.
Amen.
And like with Bouchard specifically, if you trade Barry, it needs to be coupled with cleft bombing Bouchard.
Yep. Because that kid, he led the Oilers in scoring from defensemen and he barely played on the power play.
So you need to be prepared for Ken or for Evan Bouchard to start getting a ton of power play time and put home like 55, 60 points next season. Mm-hmm. And you need to have him locked up so that there is none of
question.
This. Like,
Do you bring back Mike Green?
Oh, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Nobody's talking about that.
I think he actually like filled out his retirement paperwork.
Yeah, so. I'm pretty sure you retired.
Yeah.
Are you not allowed to come back like a Jordan situation?
You have to go play baseball first. Mike Green has to go play for the Buffalo Bisons this year, and then he's allowed to come back next year.
I'd watch that.
They need the catcher. Gabriel Moreno got called up.
Gabby Hive. Donald Dingman said one quality D-man. 25, 40. Oh, and then he adds in goalie and Kane stuff. Donald, we said one thing.
Unbelievable.
Cody said a starting goalie, and then he put a nice cute little smiley face at the end.
Aw, thanks.
And I think that's kind of all of them. Everyone else is more or less just the same few answers. I think we kind of covered the main four, but it's nice to see a lot of people sort of agreeing with us. Some people asking about Keith and retiring. Like we know that's not happening. And yeah, that's what we got.
Unless Duncan Keith really like the old body didn't, you know.
I listened to that press conference of his and maybe I'm over analyzing it a little bit here, but he talked a lot of past tense.
Who?
Duncan Keith.
If
you listen to the verbiage that he used, like the one that caught me that I thought was interesting, he was asked about Mike Smith and the way Mike Smith plays and stuff like that. And the last thing he said was, I enjoyed playing with Mike Smith.
Or maybe they know that Mike Smith is done.
Which is the other side of it too. Like, I don't know if it's Keith saying, oh yeah, we know Smitty's retiring, or if Keith is like, fuck, I don't know if I can keep this shit up. But again, what does Keith really have to play for? Like, he's got a $1.5 million salary next year. He's done everything you can in the NHL.
He's done everything you can in hockey, really.
Well, I think he's just uber competitive.
I think he wants to play.
I don't disagree with that whatsoever.
I think we see Duncan Keith back here again.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me in the least.
And the reality too is, like, if you take the contract out of it, which I know is impossible in a cap world, but he was fine. Not great. Not awful. He was fine.
Yeah, he was pretty much perfectly average.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what Chris Russell was for years when he was paying, we were paying him $4 million.
Yeah.
Everyone disliked him because he got paid $4 million.
Yep. Yeah.
Realistically, he was fine.
I'd bring back Russell next year for $1 million.
Absolutely. The thing I liked about Duncan Keith too is just, I watched him in the playoffs a lot and man, that guy's so dirty.
Greasy.
He is a filthy hockey player.
The stuff with Rantanen was amazing.
He's just so dirty. And he's been around so long that he's the only guy in the Oilers that got those veteran breaks.
Yeah.
Just that one on Rantanen where basically Lumberjack chopped the back of his leg and he's just like, what? Oh, it's so good. All right. Any other questions?
Nope. That's all of them.
All right. Well, I've got a question then for you. How about this, Tyler? Couple of guys, I noticed Bob Stauffer was mentioned just speculating. What about Josh Anderson from Montreal?
His name is trending on Twitter in Canada.
So Josh
Anderson. Good job, Bob.
Last year with the Canadiens, 69 games played. Nice. 19 goals, 13 assists for 32 points on an awful Habs team. He is making 5.5 until 26-27. Does anybody have interest in Josh Anderson?
He put up good boxcars on a really dog shit team.
Yeah, they were awful.
And that will always leave me intrigued. I watched him a lot in Columbus and when he's going, he's good. Mm-hmm. Like he's this big body. He moves and he knows how to use his size.
Listen to that 6'3", 230, Tyler.
Like he can score. I think he's got a bit of that meanness in him too. Like there's so many things that are really, really tantalizing when it comes to Josh Anderson. The contract sucks.
Yep.
So
could you make a move where potentially, because here the reality is Montreal's rebuilding.
Frank said that Montreal doesn't want to trade him though, and that it would take an offer that blows their socks off to get it done. So if that's what scares me, because I'm all of a sudden having flashbacks to last year when it was like, hey, the Oilers like Duncan Keith. And we were all like, oh yeah, like fine, but the contract sucks. So like, don't overpay, like make sure they keep money. And then the Oilers both overpaid and they didn't keep money. And I worry with Anderson, we're all sitting here being like, oh, Barry for Anderson, like would you do it? Like is there another piece to make the money work? Like how would you figure this out? And I'm worried it's going to be like, oh yeah, the first rounder for Anderson, and we'll all be like, oh my god,
What about a guy who says he does not want to do a rebuild for Montreal, Brendan Gallagher?
The contract too, right? Yep.
And six and a half over until 26-27.
That's too long for me. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying no to Josh Anderson.
And it's a soft J, I believe.
Josh Anderson.
Gosh. Yep.
I'm not saying no to Josh Anderson. I think there is a deal that would make sense out there somewhere. It probably involves Barry going back the other way. Like, would you say no to Barry and Fogel for Anderson?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm scared by Josh Anderson because it just feels like Milan Lucic 2.0. Like, that's my concern. Like, it's a big ticket for a long time for a guy who's been very inconsistent and hurt a lot in his NHL career. I think there's a player there. I don't disagree with it. But unless Montreal magically can retain a bunch of his salary, I'm really not all that interested in it.
If Montreal was like, we'll keep $1 million and match both contracts with Barry and Anderson.
I don't think they will, though.
Not even, what are you really...
And the other thing too with Lucic is like his deal's going to expire when he's 35, right? And I get the 33, 34 year old seasons haven't been good for him either, but like at least Anderson's only 28. So like you might be getting some good years out of him still.
Yeah, but Lucic was what, 29 when he signed in Edmonton? 28 when he signed in Edmonton?
He would have been.
Like he was right in that
29,
age.
29, yeah.
And we know how.
But you got a good year out of him.
Oh, yeah.
For you got one good year out of him.
One good year. So maybe you get two or three good years out of Anderson, then the deal sucks. And yeah, I guess that's a good reason to stay away.
The Oilers need offense. Yes, they've got guys that can score, but they are one injury away from not having as many guys that can score is the reality of it.
Didn't we just see that?
Yeah.
Zach Cassian quickly became a top six forward again.
Yeah. Like
wasn't ideal.
No, score. Not great. Not great. He did score, but like, you know,
what would, if hypothetically Josh Anderson came to Edmonton, what would he have to do to make his contracts look better?
30 goals.
30 goals?
Got to be a 30 goal guy.
5.5. I'd say like bare minimum 25 because he'd be in the Hyman Nuge range, right? And we expect those guys to pop home 20 to 25 goals.
I expect a better season from Nuge next year.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd say like if Anderson comes here, kills penalties, is a big body for you, and he scores you 25, 30 goals, you're probably pretty happy at $5.5 million.
So, God damn it, you guys are talking me into this.
Well, and the other thing too is just like, okay, so you lose, let's say Fogel and Barry are going the other way in this deal. Okay, so you're losing your Remchuk math, like $1.25 million in cap space in this transaction. That might give you just enough money to save on top of some existing cap space, obviously, to get Kulak back. So ask yourself, are you a better team with Barry and Fogel or Anderson and Kulak?
Anderson and Kulak. Also,
and that duo granted will cost you a couple million dollars more than the other duo, but
so you said 30 goals just to kind of circle back. So he had two power play goals last season at 19.
In how many games?
69.
Nice.
Brought up a lot on this show.
Nice.
Is it unrealistic to think he could get to 30 goals in the Oilers top six?
I think so.
It's very realistic. What's his career high again? What was it?
27.
27?
Which was 4 years ago.
With Columbus.
When he was in Columbus. With zero around him.
And I don't watch Montreal games, but it looks like he was on the third line for most of the year, or at least the last game of the season, he was on the third line with Dvorak and I don't even know how to say this guy's name.
Yeah, I'm going to look
similar up. To McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yes.
What you're saying?
Yes. Now imagine him on a wing with McDavid or Draisaitl. Cause
you're a Vander Kane replacement.
There you go. And he's physical. Like we said, 6'3". Does he skate well?
Yeah. He's a big man.
Good skater.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't think it's like that bad. And I think when you think about it too is okay. Vander Kane is 30. And if you want to have him to a 3 year deal, say he would be 33 at the end of his deal. Mm-hmm. Now you get Josh Anderson for $1.5 million cheaper until the same age and he's 2 years younger.
It's doable. It's reasonable.
Yeah. I don't think it's like out of the question, but I do agree with Tyler. If Montreal doesn't want to give him up, then what are we giving up to get him? Is it a first in Puljujarvi? Because if it's that, then.
Oh, I think it's Barry.
I think Montreal likes Barry. Yeah.
But do you not think Montreal would want a young forward?
I don't know if Montreal gives a shit.
Can I interest you in Raphael Lavoie?
Fogel's young ish.
Yeah, he's 26.
I'm also, you guys know me.
And he's French.
Warren Fogel fan club over here. Yeah. I like Fogel.
I like Fogel
as a
I think Montreal player. Might. They might sit there and be like, you're going to give us a D-man and you're going to give us Josh Anderson light in Warren Fogel if they really like him.
okay, then Montreal, you got to give us something back to add on to it if you like them that much, right? Like, I mean, what if they come and say they'll give us a second added on to it?
Oh, good Lord. Kiss Jeff Gordon on the lips.
Right? I mean, maybe. I mean, I think the whole Barry thing is contingent on what happens with Jeff Petrie, too.
Yeah, and I bet you they move him this summer.
If they move him, who do they have on their right side? David Savard and fuck all.
Justin Barron.
Chris Weidman, guest of Suitcase and the Scribe.
He's already
Wednesday.
Yep. I think that's a realistic thing. Just to throw something out there quickly.
What if they gave us the rights to Lagesson?
Hey, Billy Legs.
Yeah, I think, you know, welcome what? Back, Strads buddy. Makes that deal any day of the week.
Is he still, he's not under contract, right? Like no, that guy's signing in Europe,
that's,
right?
That's why I just said
he's got great hair.
Great hair.
Excellent hair.
He's 26 and still fighting his feet. I think he's got a chance.
Back to the goaltending for a second. I see on Frank Saravalli's trade targets list over at dailyfaceoff.com, John Gibson is reportedly available. That would probably be a big ticket for a trade. He is signed at 6.4 with 5 years left. Would anybody have interest in trying to unlock? Tyler says no.
I say no too.
Also no. Mike McKenna doesn't like his advanced numbers, and I trust Mike McKenna when it comes to all things goaltending. Frank Saravalli's raised some questions about his attitude and body language in Anaheim and how he likes to...
They are terrible.
Well, yeah, like they aren't good, but like Anthony Stolarz went in there and played good this year, and you know John Gibson didn't.
And I just Oiler, once an Oiler, always an Oiler.
Yep. I don't know. I don't think I'm not taking on that Gibson contract. It's too risky.
All right.
And his numbers have just dropped consistently year over year the last couple of years.
And
I'm not about it.
The thing with goaltending, like, okay, so Josh Anderson, his contract sucks or it's not good. If you're wrong on the Josh Anderson bet, you play him on your third line. You got an Albatross contract. That's life. If you're wrong on John Gibson, you're fucked.
Yep. Because it's a high ticket.
It is. And it's the spot where you can't hide them, right? Like you are making the plunge for John Gibson. And if you're wrong, game over.
All right. Different name for you then. Topping Frank Saravalli's trade list, Alex DeBrincat, 24 years old, former teammate of Connor McDavid.
It'll cost you so much. Mm-hmm. He has a qualifying offer next summer of $9 million. So you're getting DeBrincat as a rental maybe. But then what? You're going to pay that price for an RFA forward knowing you probably can't afford him next summer?
And you'd also have to, like, I would imagine you'd have to move a guy like Yamamoto. You can't have both of those guys in your top six.
It'd probably be like Yamamoto, Holloway, and a first. Like, it'd be a monster package, at least.
At least.
DeBrincat's like 23 or whatever, and he scores 40 goals.
Yep,
24. You know what's really painful?
Oh, you're going to talk about...
Yeah. Don't do it.
I'm sorry.
They should have drafted him.
They took Benson over him.
Made no sense.
Sucks.
Made no sense.
Yeah, well, you know, Southside Athletic Club, right?
Mm-hmm. Love the sack.
A lot of guys from out of there. Mm-hmm. Stuart Skinner, former E-Bug Matt Berlin.
That's right.
He was an E-Bug in the last playoff game.
Yep.
Talking about defense, Jacob Chychrun's name still available, 24 years old, 3 more seasons of 4.6.
Not happening.
I don't know why.
Why what?
Why are the Oilers not after this guy?
Where would you play him?
On defense.
Yes.
First line left wing.
So you got
you play him on the left side on the second pair with Evan Bouchard.
Yeah, okay. So I guess you're getting him and you let Kulak walk and you're going Nurse, Chychrun, Keith next year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they have bigger fish to fry.
I think maybe now, but why didn't they do it before? That was my thing. It's like this guy's on the board. What is he, 24?
Because
4.6.
Holland was scared to trade the pick. That's the reason why. He had enough opportunity to trade the pick in the season.
Yeah. Also, I just want to circle back to DeBrincat quickly. I think Barstool Chief or whatever, the Hawks guy that they have, did a Twitter space where he was talking about trade options for DeBrincat, and DeBrincat joined the call.
Oh, no.
He's like hanging out. Him and Strome are hanging out in the chat listening to what they're saying.
Oh, no, that's awkward.
That's good.
That'll be an interesting player, actually. Do you think there's any chance Dylan Strome comes to the Oilers?
I think there's a shot.
Him and McDavid were
besties.
He looks good on Connor's wing.
He looks good in junior on Connor's wing.
Again, so I talked about this. I did a radio hit today and they're like, oh, what do you do if you don't get Kane? And I was like, well, if you don't get Kane, you're not going and spending $7 million on another winger. If Strome doesn't get qualified, he's a UFA. So he costs you nothing but money. What if your replacement for Kane was Strome and then giving up some futures to get Lawson Crouse?
And then we trade Dylan Strome for Ryan Spooner's brother.
Does Paul he Ryan's have a brother? Been his wife, because she's good. What's her name? Natalie.
I don't think they're related at all.
Well, you know what? For the sake of the podcast, they are.
Really? Yeah, we're trying to tie some. We're trying to make ties here.
Married. No, they're definitely not married. Ryan Spooner's wife, I think, has like a jewelry line.
Oh,
I used to follow him on Instagram when he played video. This is kind of that.
So he's married to Mrs. Pandora,
and he doesn't and he doesn't have any family that played hockey. So tough break, boys.
That is too bad.
Well, Ryan Spooner, though, this season with Avtomobilist Yekaterinburg, had 34 points and 40.
I want to hear that one more time.
Avtomobilist Yekaterinburg. Mm-hmm. And if you I say it, that and if you play that audio backwards, it's actually the same each way.
I love that one. Okay, so the Oilers have got some interesting moves to make. What else I got on my list here? Oh, they picked 29th this year at the NHL draft. Chris Peters over at dailyfaceoff.com released his draft rankings today. Tyler, what kind of what has he got lined up around that spot?
I'll read you from 25 to 32.
Please.
Brad Lambert.
Love that.
That's an interesting one.
The Saskatchewan boy from Finland.
Yeah.
Pardon?
wasn't he at one point like projected to be a top five pick?
Yeah.
It was Wright, Savoy, and Lambert was the top three.
Yeah.
So Lambert's dad played. I think his name might be Brad too.
No, his name is Lane and he coaches the Islanders now.
That's his dad?
I believe so. I'll double check.
I don't know. I didn't know that. But
does he know Ryan Spooner's brother?
Or wife.
I'm really good in these family connections. his mom is from Finland and he lived in Finland with his mom.
Oh, no, okay. Sorry. His uncle is Lane Lambert.
And he's,
his dad is Ross Lambert.
And he played,
I know Ross Lambert.
He played really? In the dough. He played in a dub with like Blades, I think.
What else? Yes, you did.
Oh.
Who's next?
This guy, just all name team, Jimmy Snuggerud.
Oh, I definitely draft Jimmy Snuggerud.
That's made up. Lion Bischel, a defenseman from Leksand, Sweden.
His name is Lion?
Lion.
I like that.
Number 28, Owen Pickering from the WHL Swift Current Broncos. Liam?
Very good player. I think he's like 6'5 and he skates really well.
Had 33 points in 62 games.
He was on Canucks Army recently. What's that podcast called?
Canucks Convo.
He was on there. Go check that one out.
Number 29, Sam Rinzel from the Waterloo Blackhawks of the USHL. He is a, according to Chris, big raw blue liner.
Well, you got a smile on your face.
Number 30, Philip Mesar from Slovakia played for Poprad. He's quick and shifty and is exceptionally fun to watch.
One thing I'm realizing as you're reading these names, I love the fact that I have no idea what the fuck's going on at the draft.
All right.
What a beautiful luxury that is.
Number 31, nice another candidate for the all name team, Luca Del Bell Belluz.
Ooh, I like that.
There are four parts of that name. Del Bell Belluz.
I like that a lot. Not as much as Snuggeroo, though, I don't think.
And number 32.
We can get that guy a Snuggy sponsorship for show.
Noah Ostlund from Sweden.
So what do we got here? Like, what's the breakdown on positions around that spot?
So 25, Lambert's a center winger. Snuggerud's a winger. Bischel's a D. Pickering's a D. Rinzel's a D. And the last two I said, Mesar and Del Bell Belluz are both forwards.
So if Chris Peters is saying that 20 through 60 are relatively the same, why wouldn't you kind of move back? Because what do the others have this year? They have their first...
Fifth,
sixth, seventh.
I can see them trading down. Yeah. Can I just share with you the rest of the really cool names in the first round?
Absolutely.
At number six, you have Cutter Gauthier.
Hell yeah. I'd draft Cutter Gauthier if I'm in sixth spot.
WHL?
OHL, right?
US National Development Team.
Seems like a dub name.
Marco Casper.
That's I like that. Fan of the ghost and mattress,
Jagger Furkus.
Ooh,
yeah, I like him a lot.
Yeah, I've actually heard a lot of really good things about him. Rutger McGroarty, who sounds like he should be a movie star.
Oh, absolutely, I'd watch his movies. He's an action star.
Yep,
drives a nice car.
I just want to try saying this one, Ivan Miroshnichenko.
Miroshnichenko, we can get there.
Yep, that's not bad. And that's all the good names. Apologies to anyone who I didn't say. Your name's not cool enough.
Taylor Yamchuk.
Happens.
You know what? I wonder what they're going to do with the draft this year. How drunk will I be by the time their 29th pick rolls around?
It's on a Thursday.
Hey, last Thursday of the week.
I'm going to be in Montreal. Yep.
Could you meet some of the all name team for us?
Yeah, like I'd like some selfies or something.
That actually would be a neat project. Tyler interviews the all name team.
Pronunciations.
Yep.
So that guy New Jersey drafted a few years ago. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't he on the panel?
I don't remember his name.
Really unsure to say his name correctly.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
That's tough, though.
That would be a tough one. And he was from like northern Russia or something.
Yeah, and he's playing good too, right? Yeah, he's come up and actually Yegor Sharangovich, was he the one?
No.
No, it was another one. I think it
began with an M.
Oh, Shakir Muk.
Yeah. Oof. Go ahead.
Just let me size it up because I want to try to do it right. Shakir Makamadulin. Shakir Makamadulin.
Sounds right.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
Shakira.
Really.
Shakira.
His hips don't lie either.
Nope.
Never do.
Pivots well.
All right. For our friends at busterspizza.ca, it is time for Ask the Idiots. If you don't know what the bit is, what are you doing with your life? You send me questions. I ask the boys. They haven't seen them. You had a chance to win a GC from our friends at Buster's Pizza. Right? It's Friday. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't want to win a GC on a Friday night? Come on.
Come on.
All right. So I've got three questions, boys. You have not seen any of these, correct?
Correct.
Zach, you're filling in. I'm going to ask you first. If you could be a fly on the wall in the Oilers GM office at any point in Oilers history, what period are you choosing?
Holy shit. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's probably the last days of Peter Chiarelli's era.
That's exactly the answer I was going to say.
I think it's just the fact that he sold low on so many players, brought in Alex Petrovic and Brandon Manning. Mm. Like, I think those days would have been really interesting to see what it was like inside the Oilers offices.
Liam, you're the next fill in. You're a fly on the wall in the Oilers GM office, but at what point?
I'm trying to think of some time Ken Holland would have spoken to Connor McDavid after a season. Just to kind of see what goes down there. Maybe after Winnipeg, they got swept by Winnipeg.
That'd be a good one.
Being like, what now?
That'd be a good one. Tyler?
That was a good one from Zach. Just in those last days when it probably would have just been absolutely mayhem.
Just think about it. Petrovic, Manning, re-signed Koskinen. All within like a matter of months before he was let go.
Yeah. I will say... I'll say the summer when they traded Hall for Larson and did the Puljujarvi pick as well, just to like get finally know for sure, like what went down on draft day, how hard did they search for a trade for Taylor Hall, or did they seek out Larson? Like, how did all of that really play out? The Lucic negotiation, you know, why didn't, what was his name? The D-man, Jason Demers.
Yeah, Demers.
What didn't he like about his tour in the construction hat? Why didn't he choose us?
I was thinking about those tours of Rogers' place before it opened. How many times do you think that Taylor Hall saw the skeleton of that building and they're like, this is where you're going to play, Taylor? And then before it even opened, they're like, see you later.
Going to Jersey.
So you guys both took my answers. The Chiarelli period is fascinating to me. I'm going to go back to 2006. I want to know the Pronger answer.
I was going to throw that one in there as an honorable mention because that would be really cool.
I want to know what happened.
Yeah.
Days after losing game 7 of the Stanley Cup finals, Pronger asked for a trade. What the fuck? I want to know that whole story.
Well, it's interesting too, because you hear Craig McTavish talk nowadays and there's a sense of regret that he has over the way things transpired in that offseason.
Didn't he say that on the rundown, Ty? McTavish was like, we should have done more to keep that team
together. I think that's where he was talking about it.
Wasn't Chris Pronger did a video for the Oilers the other day?
Yeah, I heard about that.
It's the first time I've seen his face on anything Oilers.
Yeah, for the Joey Moss.
I wasn't here for 06, but that's the first time I've seen Chris Pronger on any piece of,
well, you know what, Liam? It's the first time any of us have to.
Yes. Sorry, I have a quick honorable mention.
Please.
Chiarelli telling Connor McDavid that they'd acquired Brandon Manning.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Yeah. Be like,
that'd be a great one.
Oh, who did you trade? Jake Kajula.
I would also like to hear, and this is not a GM thing, I guess. I would have liked to hear what happened between Mac T being the GM and then Chiarelli being the GM. There was no interview. There was nothing. They won the lottery and then gone.
Actually, a quick funny thing about that. Kujula trade was Kujula needed somewhere to skate before he went to Chicago. So he skated with the Show Park Crusaders. Mm-hmm. I remember walking out of my office once and he had this, he played for North Dakota, I think. Mm-hmm. He had a North Dakota helmet on skating around Show Park Arena. I was like, who the fuck is that? And I like got a little closer and he was, lo and behold, Drake Kujula was waiting for his work permit to go through and everything. He was there for like a week.
Hmm. Should have went and skated with him.
Drake Kujula in 21-22 only played 18 games with the Blackhawks. 2 goals, 3 assists for 5 points.
Free agent this year.
Bring him back?
You could do worse.
I'd like to bring back Peter Nedved for a third time if we're going to bring somebody back. You know, who knows what he could do. Just give him a chance. Next question. Ask the Idiots for our friends at Buster's Pizza. Liam, I'm going to start with you this time. You can take over Ken Holland's body and make one move this offseason, be it a trade, signing, etc. What is that move?
Or a dance move.
Yep, you can just bust a move. Maybe like Ken Holland, you'd do the worm or something. That'd be really fun.
Well, the gritty would be my dance move.
Well, of course.
Ken Holland. That'd be good. I could see that. In some
any Fortnite moves also.
Yeah. Oh, man. The default dance. What would my one move be if I was him? I don't know. I guess sign Kemper. Like that would be my move. Like
Zach.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably the most logical one. I don't know. Get Alex to brink it for a 5th round pick. That'd be pretty tight.
That'd be nice.
Tyler.
My dance move would be the stanky leg.
Oh, nice.
And, I would also sign Kemper.
I'd like to learn how to Dougie. And I think Ken Holland's body is the perfect vessel for such a maneuver.
Could you imagine Ken Holland hitting a soldier boy?
Oh, he's Superman in them house. What move would I do though?
God, I'm telling you people, this is why you listen to ONR.
Holy shit.
What is my move? Well, I know he's playing next year. But if I'm Ken Holland, I'm at Duncan Keith's house in Kelowna or wherever the fuck he's at every single day. And I'm telling him to stay home until eventually I bully him into retiring.
I'd go golfing and I'd be like, all right, Duncan, closest to the pin. If I'm closest, you have to retire. If you're closest, I give you a 2-year extension. And I just really pray to God I make a good shot.
I thought you were going to go in a much darker angle with the golf thing too. So I'm glad you didn't say that.
Look at the view. Bang.
Come stand by this ledge. No, we don't condone that.
Nope. No, we do not. Last question for Ask the Idiots. Tyler, I'm starting with you this time. A question coming all the way from Newcastle, Australia. The first hockey game I ever watched was game 2 of the Oilers versus Kings. And from there, I've been obsessed and have binge listened to all of the ONRs since 2022 began. And even though we're out of the race now, I'm still an Oilers fan. I'm a diehard now. My question for all you guys is, what is the one stupid rule you would change that makes no sense? Because there are some rules I cannot make sense of as I'm trying to learn this game.
The trapezoid.
Oh, I'm surprised you said that one.
The one I always say, actually, why does the team that takes penalty get to ice the puck? You should still have to play by the rules if you take a penalty. I don't get that one.
Is that your rule change?
That's my rule change. Yeah.
Zach, what do you got?
Abolish offsides. Cherry picking all day.
You know what? Fuck you. Bring back 2-line pass is my answer.
Liam?
Mine would be define what control and possession actually means so you can call offsides.
Oh, Liam, you're so salty.
I am 100% salty. The only reason the Oilers lost the series was that call.
It all would have went the other way. There's just so many weird... Like, if you're a new fan and you're trying to figure out hockey... Offside can be confusing.
But there's offside in sports like soccer. And
you know what I do? Right? You know what I do? This is just because it annoys me now because everybody does it. I'd put in like a basketball, no over and back in OT. But that's just, if you're a beginner, you have no idea what I'm talking about probably.
Yeah, that makes it more confusing.
I think when I started watching hockey, the hardest rule to find to get used to was the offside.
Really?
Yeah, just because it was hard to kind of understand like why guys were just like standing there waiting like initially. Like you get used to it, obviously, but like it's like, why is that guy just not going into the zone now? Like, why is he just dumping it from that line?
How old would you have been when you watched your first like NHL game?
My first NHL game was when Eberle scored that goal against Calgary. So
it was 2010.
So How old am I now? 26. 14?
Wow.
Yeah. Now I know all the rules.
Any other rules that you guys
still?
Any other rules you guys can think of? That just as you're like, if you're a new fan, what's the most confusing rule about hockey?
People not hitting goaltenders.
They've got the most padding on.
The most padding. They are skating outside of their crease. I say free game.
The trapezoid one is interesting because that was like a Marty Turco rule from 100 years ago. Right. And now goalies outside of Schmitty, because he battles, they don't really wander out all that far anymore.
Yeah. Like, it's just dumb. I would take away the puck over glass penalty I'd just treat it like an icing. Like, you can't change if you shoot the puck over the glass.
Cause you can on one side of the ice, but you can't on your own.
I know. It's very weird, right? Weird.
Yeah. I would also change icing. I think just like
bring back the races so more guys get hurt.
Just stuff like,
why don't you say that to Curtis Foster's face?
Unbelievable. Disrespectful.
Taylor Fadoon.
Yeah. Taylor Fadoon. Yeah.
We had a couple.
He's
of
a good
guys.
Boy though.
Maybe I would keep it. Not like I wouldn't get rid of icing, but just like change it a little bit. Like sometimes you watch it and it's like, he was clearly over the red line and that was an icing. Like, I guess it's more just like refs being better. I don't know how I
linesman.
Linesman. Who cares? They're all in stripes.
Ban the slow motion replays.
Yeah, that's a good
sport.
One.
Hockey like is too that. Fast of a damn sport for there to be slow motion replays. In sports like football and basketball, I think it's a little bit more logical. I think in a sport like hockey where you're skating around with blades that can kill people, I mean, I just think it's
my counter argument would be, if you're going to do the review, just get it right. Because like, can you imagine if a call doesn't go your way and then when you slow it down, you're like, oh my God, like they got it wrong. Like if at that point, I would just say get rid of reviews.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm good with that.
I think reviews are necessary.
Really, at the end of the day, all of us just hate Matt Duchene. Really?
Well, that linesman, like if that one linesman just calls that Matt Duchene one properly, we're not here right now.
He was fucking 5 feet offside.
Can you imagine being a new fan watching that game?
Being like, I thought that was off. Okay.
The number of missed calls would be hard to adjust to as a new fan.
Yeah.
Like, that's
just the
tripping.
Inconsistency of like, I don't know how you can make it a rule, but like call the rule book. It doesn't matter whether it's the first period, the third period, or the Stanley Cup playoffs. Just call the rule book. A hook is a hook, is a slash is a slash.
It's even like when we were talking about the Keith thing, we were like, oh, that guy's ruthless.
Yeah.
The fact Sportsnet did a full segment and just laughed at the officiating drove me absolutely nuts. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Like, it's even in that game to show how unbiased I am. Cassian lined up Josh Manson on the boards and absolutely crushed him in the numbers, and nothing was called. And then Cassian got the hold, and the Landeskog got the hold and stuff. It's just like the inconsistency is so frustrating to watch.
Yeah, that's fair.
I also imagine new fans would probably be confused when, I mean, it's not that confusing, but if a guy loses his helmet accidentally or otherwise, he just leaves the ice no matter where he's at. Like, I get it from an injury standpoint, but it's just like, what? A goalie. How about this one? A goalie cannot have black tape on the knob of his stick.
I don't get that one.
That might look like the puck.
Yeah, it might look like the puck. I don't know.
Might confuse the goal horn guy. Shout out to the goal horn guys everywhere.
Did you see that one the other day?
Yeah, that was so bad. That's why I thought about it. A hand pass is legal in your own zone, but not in the offensive zone.
Yeah, that's a little odd.
Is that a rule?
Yep.
I never knew that.
Yep.
Rule
79-2.
There's so many times I've watched the game being like, that's a hand pass and nothing gets called. Okay. I had one of those.
But if you swat it out of your zone into the neutral zone and your teammate touches it in the neutral zone, it is a hand pass.
God, that seems complicated.
I think you should be allowed to score. Shout out to Blake Coleman. I think you should be allowed to score with your foot provided your skate's on the ice.
Yeah, I love
that.
I was about to make like just a funny off the cuff joke, but then I remembered Brett would clip it and now I'm not going to say it.
You're learning, Tyler.
All right, boys, there's your Ask the Idiots questions for our friends at Buster's Pizza. Go check them out at busterspizza.ca. I promise you there's a location near you.
This is such a long episode. We were literally sitting here, we're like, we have no prep.
Well, we're going to wrap it up here, 20. Tyler. We just got to vote on who gets the GC. So option one is fly on the wall for a GM era. You take over Ken Holland's body and teach him how to Dougie. Or three, what is a rule you would change in the NHL?
Fly on the wall.
Liam.
I would do the second one because I just imagine Ken Holland dancing numerous times in my head.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
Go on, fly on the wall. That was a great question.
So there you go, fly on the wall. Sean Maloney, you get the...
Hey, Sean, we got your name right and you won a prize. Good job, man.
Yep. So there you go. I will reach out to you post-podcast. Time to get the buttons ready for the hot and cold performers for our friends at Twig and Berries. If you go to twigandberries.ca, use the Nation promo code or the promo code Nation15, get yourself a little discount. You want to shop online? They got plenty of options for you right there on the front of the scene screen. You could be as handsome as Bearded Brad in a brand new ODR hoodie. I look at their hoodies and they're very, very nice. I've got the Connor hoodie is what I've got, and it is excellent. I wear that thing all the time. Very comfortable, very warm. Twigandberries.ca, or if you're in St. Albert or around the city, go check them out in store out in St. Albert. You might even see Tyler. You might even see Tyler. Maybe he'll give you a fashion show. Maybe he won't. You'll have to ask nicely. We're going to start off with our veggies as we always do with our cold performers of... What should we do here, Tyler? Because we just did this. Cold performers of the season?
I think we need to just do cold performers of the week again.
Okay. So I'm going to start with you. What's your Twig and Berries cold performer of the week?
That guy at the Rangers Lightning game who cheap shotted that Lightning fan decked him. Like, if you did that on the ice, you'd have a meeting with the Department of Player Safety. Maybe. You do that off the ice,
you're going to court, my guy.
Yeah, you have a meeting with a judge, and I think he will because he was arrested. So that dude, that was a cheap shot, man. You're my cold performer of the week.
That was shocking.
It's hockey. Calm down.
Oh, that's cold.
Like, I get it that the Rangers lost last night after being up 2-0 in the series, but like, dude, pull your fucking life together. Zach, your Twig and Berries cold performer of the week.
Mine is going to be to the pollen that is currently making my allergies.
Oh my God.
Horrible. Just terrible, terrible start to the summer.
I'm all set.
Liam, your Twig and Berries cold performer of the week.
FIFA. How could you not pick the city to host a World Cup game?
Ah.
Yeah. Vancouver finally gets to watch Alphonso Davies back in their city, and they get 17,000 people.
We had 50,000 when it was minus 30.
We had a combined over 92,000 people here in the middle of November to watch Canada play twice. And I was lucky enough to be at one. Did you guys? You went to one? It was unbelievable. It was the second best sporting event I've ever been to besides Game 7. So it was one for a while. So screw you, FIFA.
Are you thrilled? I'm not.
I didn't really think about this. My Twig and Berries cold performer of the week is just, I guess, the fact that we had season ending interviews on Wednesday instead of game 5. Just hurt, you know, just hurt.
You're as cold as ice.
Finishing the podcast off on a positive note, Zach Lang, I'm coming to you first. Your Twig and Berries hot performer of the week.
My hot performer of the week is to Elliot Friedman, who gave me a very, very kind shout out on Twitter this week. He did not have to do that, but it was very nice of him.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
So at the end of the day, you're really the hot performer here.
Apparently. Right.
Liam, your Twig and Berries hot performer of the week.
If this really is the end, I'll give it to Mike Smith. It's been a roller coaster, but it's been a lot of fun. So thanks. Thanks, Smitty. Thanks for letting us make t-shirts.
It's getting hot in here. Tyler, your Twig and Berries hot performer of the week.
Toronto Blue Jays called up star prospect Gabriel Moreno from AAA Buffalo, and I'm very excited for him to be playing baseball for the Bluebirds, and I'm also very excited for us, Bag Milk, because we're going to be in Toronto together August 12th to 15th as part of the Nation Vacation Baseball Edition and sort of soccer edition. We are flying out on Friday the 12th. We watch a baseball game on the 12th. Soccer game on the 13th, TFC. Baseball game on the 14th. Fly home on the 15th. $13.99 is how much this trip costs. It gets you your tickets to the baseball games. We're sitting in the home run zone, baby. Your tickets to the soccer game, a custom t-shirt, your flights to and from, your transportation to and from the airport in Toronto, and 3 nights in a downtown Toronto hotel. That is a banging deal. We are going to have a banging time. It's available at nationgear.ca, and that trip is my hot performer of the week.
Yeah!
Inspired by Liam, I guess. My Twig and Berries hot performer of the week is I'm going to give a shout out to Miko. Zach wrote about it, or I guess Cam wrote about it, I should say, over at OilersNation.com. Report Miko Koskinen likely to play in Switzerland next season. That came out in late May. Hasn't always been a smooth ride, Miko, but you know what? You're a damn fine soldier. I would have signed that contract too. They overplayed you sometimes. They overplayed you sometimes. So Miko Koskinen, I wish you well. We speak your name, sir.
The big guy is smoking hot.
Miko, we hardly knew ye.
You were here for 5 years.
We got to know him pretty well.
Yeah, that's great.
We know his flaws.
We know he's got a wiener dog.
Mm-hmm. Which is hilarious.
I still love that photo of him.
Yeah, with the dog.
The dog.
So. We know that if Tyler drops a Bud Light Sody right in front of him in Los Angeles, he won't say a word about it.
That was one of the more embarrassing moments of my life.
Derek Ryan also won't say a thing about it.
And the other thing is like, I know I'm not going to get into it.
All right, there you go. So for Tyler, Liam, Zach, and myself, this is Oilers Nation Radio episode 204. I just want to say thank you to DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Cornerstone Insurance, Buster's Pizza, Twig and Berries. Most importantly, all of you for riding with us. We'll be back some point next week. There you go. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.